I usually leave my notes up here on the platform, but I'm noticing there's so many notes up here, I don't want mine to get mixed up or to put away before I get up here. Wasn't that a moving video? It brings tears to your eyes thinking about, you don't think you're very important until you really realize you might be God's call to help transform somebody's life. And maybe whilst we're studying these scriptures and these messages in this new series on Transformed, maybe you'll see that how important it is in the Word. Some of these things you can take are not just for you, but are for others to take to them, to minister to them. Last week we began a new sermon series. We're calling it Transformation, and we began with the topic of spiritual transformation, and we gleaned from Jesus' story of the prodigal son. And today we go into what's called physical transformation. And I know as soon as I said that, some of you think with this being a new year that physical transformation is going to mean diet. Now, have you ever realized that the first three letters of the word diet are die? But it is, we all know that it is important that we live inside these physical vessels, these bodies. We should take care of them, so that's a challenge enough. But as your pastor, I found a new diet I would like to suggest to you. It's called a stress diet, and I'll just kind of walk you through it for a moment here, and you can take some quick notes if you want. It starts off with breakfast, being a half a grapefruit, a slice of whole wheat toast, and 8 ounces of skim milk. I know it doesn't sound exciting, but diets aren't. Lunch is 4 ounces of lean broiled chicken breast, 1 cup steamed zucchini, 1 Oreo cookie for a little bit of a treat, and herb tea. Now, for a mid-afternoon snack, you get the rest of the package of Oreos, 1 quart of Rocky Road ice cream, and 1 jar of hot fudge. Now, for dinner, to finish the day, 2 loaves of garlic bread, a large pepperoni and mushroom pizza, a large pitcher of Kool-Aid, 3 Milky Way bars, an entire Sara Lee cheesecake eaten directly from the freezer. That's why it's a high-stress diet. Have you ever noticed that the word stressed, spelled backwards, is desserts? That's why a lot of people eat desserts when they're highly stressed. So today's message on physical health is focused on a little different, more than just our physical health with a diet, but something that involves not just physical, but our mental, emotional, and spiritual health, something that's a challenge and a danger to that, and that is stress. Look familiar? Stress causes blood pressure to rise, pulse to quicken, adrenaline to start surging through the body, and all kinds of other psychological effects. And chronic stress overwhelms the body. And so to help us with our stress today, we're going to glean from what you heard read earlier, one of the most famous psalms in the Bible, the 23rd psalm called the Shepherd's Psalm. But before we get to that text, I want to share a list of 7 famous common sources of stress that we find in our modern lives today. Some of these are older, some of these are intensified in our new society. The first one is worry. And the reason why worry is number one is that we have a lot more things to worry about these days than there used to be. 20 years ago, few people even realized or worried about identity theft and what may happen in that. Few people 20 years ago or 30 years ago even worried about losing a cell phone, especially if it was those big ones that looked like walkie-talkies from the military back then. And new worries are continually increasing with an increasingly complex world. A second area is hurry. Hurry comes from an increasing pace in our lives. Doesn't it seem like the world continues to go faster and faster? I mean, we now live in a nanosecond world where everybody wants it now, or they want it yesterday, and they want it immediately, and that hurry creates stress. A third thing is crowds. Sometimes when Deb and I will be driving back from visiting family and such up north, as we come closer to this area, we experience again what I call the swarm. You know what I mean, don't you? All the cars going around you. Everybody's saying, me first, you don't matter. And about a month ago, on a Monday after work, I was driving home to down Clopper Road to have dinner before I came back. And as I was driving along, I went to turn off onto Father Hurley. And as I went to turn the lane, I hit my turn signal, and a Dodge Charger came tearing across the lane and almost hitting me. And I hit my brakes and blew the horn so he'd see me. And he almost hit me, but because I had stopped, he stopped, and he got in front of me, and he stopped. I thought, why did he stop? He got out of his car. He walked back and said, what are you honking at? I said, excuse me, I thought you were going to hit me. He says, hit me, I'll hit you. And he drove his fist into the hood of my car, leaving a dent, got back in his car, and drove away. Yes, I followed him where he was picking up his case of beer at a beer distributor. And I got his license plate, and I took it to the police, and they looked it up online, online, and it was the license plate of a truck, not a Dodge Charger. So we have yet to find out who it is. Yes, crowds can cause stress. Traffic everywhere. Did you know that they say a study has said Americans waste over 4 billion hours waiting in traffic? Well, we could understand that. A fourth area that causes stress are choices. Have you noticed if you want to get something, there are now so many choices, not just one or two or three, but hundreds, if not thousands. And you go online maybe to look at something or to get a, and you look at reviews and you get all these reviews. Oh, that one looks good, but then you read the number ones or the, you know, oh, but those are negatives. I can't get that. And those reviews actually are more paralyzing. They create indecision. If you look at Facebook, people can now choose in choices 58 sexual categories of identification. Starbucks says it now offers more than 80,000 drink combinations. I hope I don't get behind somebody asking, what are your combinations? So many choices is causing stress. Then there are valleys. You heard it read, the valley of the shadow of death. We all go through dark valleys in our lives. It's usually related to some kind of a loss of a job or income or finances or health or the loss of a loved one. We all have experienced that. And we all go through these valleys in life. And these valleys can cause fear because we have fear of the unknown of what's ahead after this valley or in this valley. These valleys and the threats of loss and the actual loss and the fear of loss are causes of great stress. A sixth one is conflict. Not too many years ago, there were many shared values in society that kept the society and us as people united as a whole, but we now live in a world where people around you are from very different beliefs and convictions and lifestyles, which means there's a greater opportunity of conflict. As our former President Obama recently commented, it's like people are from different planets now, from different areas of understanding. I heard a political analogy that said that our political parties are like two opposing football teams, each trying to carry the ball to their goal line. One party gets the ball and gets it over the 50-yard line, only to have the other ball team get the ball and begin to move it the other way, not to mention a national anthem protest. Did you know that an exercise company with gyms across the nation recently announced they were blocking all cable news channels in their gyms because of the fights that were breaking out in the gyms? People from different planets seeing themselves as different teams who fight against each other causes people to see each other as opponents or as enemies, and it breeds rudeness and disrespect and hate and stress. And we see our society is losing its civility. It's getting more rude. And the internet isn't helping. People railing against others with posting so violent, attacking, and hateful, I'm scared they're heading for a heart attack themselves as they type it. And some people will just not like you because of your faith or your morals or your personality or your family or your position or your politics, and such conflict can be very stressful. And seventh, the future. Let me just say a few topics that may stress, make you feel the stress of the future. How about words like Washington, D.C., and healthcare and Social Security? How about Iraq and North Korea and Russia and nuclear weapons? How about climate change and hurricanes and forest fires and mudslides and snowstorms? How about the stock market at its highest level? But will there be a correction? It's the fear of the future, and that stresses us out. A lot of stressors all around us and within us. When you come to the 23rd Psalm, when you really dig into it, when you glean the comfort found in it, it is a great tool for stress management. And we're going to deal with that. In it, we find seven spiritual tools for reducing stress, and they actually parallel the seven sources of stress that I just mentioned. And the first tool for handling stress is in the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Don't worry, trust. The first thing David says, who writes this psalm, is I need to look to God to face all my needs. And when I do, it calms me down. Too often we put our security in other things and other people who cannot do everything, but our Lord God can do everything. Your job can't do it for you. Your relationships can't do it for you. Your money can't do it for you. Only God is the source of the one you can trust with the needs and the wants and all the things you need in your life. So as your pastor and your friend, I recommend that you never put your security in something that can be taken away from you. You can lose your job or your health or your reputation, even a loved one. You can lose your mind. But you cannot lose your relationship with Christ if you know Jesus. In Romans 8, it says this, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Look to God to meet all of your needs. In Romans 8, it says, since God did not spare even his own son for us, but gave him up for us, won't he also surely give us everything else we need? So if God loved you enough to send his only son to die on the cross for you and for everyone else, don't you think he loves you enough to take care of every other need in your life? Of course he does. So trust him. Don't worry, trust him. And every time you start to get stressed out, you need to pause and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's going to provide. He's going to take care of me. I'm going to look to God to meet all of my needs. Don't worry. Trust him. The second one is, we talked about hurry. Don't hurry. Rest. He says in there, he makes me lie down. So much of the stress in your life comes from always being in a hurry, always doing too much, always working too much, always feeling like you've got too much to do. How many of you feel like, I just can never get caught up? Can I have a raise of hands? I just can't get caught up. So you make lists. You start to make a list. It starts simple enough. Lists of things to do. Things that you think of right away, and then things that are the connectors. The more you put down, the more it adds, and then it mushrooms, and then it goes all the way through to Murphy's Law. Before I can do this, I have to do 10 other things first, and I have to list those through. And we get overwhelmed, and it mushrooms. So what do? We look to God, and we say, help me, and God says, take some time to rest in the middle of all this. God wants you to know and to learn the importance of rest. He makes me lie down. He created the whole universe, and it says on the seventh day, God rested. Why did God rest? God didn't need rest. He doesn't tire out. He was modeling and providing this important part of our lives called rest. He says, every seventh day you rest. That's why he did it. He modeled it. And the Bible is filled with instructions about rest and recreation. Recreation is another way of putting that word, and relaxation. In fact, it's so important to God, he put it in his big 10, the Ten Commandments. Right up there with don't commit adultery and don't murder and don't lie, he says, every seventh day, stop and rest. Jesus later said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God created rest so you would take some time off in your week to worship and rest and recreate and restore. It's for your benefit so you don't burn out. He makes me lie down. You notice, makes me. Why? Because we as sheep are not smart enough to rest otherwise. We drive ourselves. Sheep aren't smart enough to rest. That's why the shepherds have to make them lay down. And God has wired your body in such a way that if you don't take time off, your body will make time off. You know what that's called? A breakdown. Remember this simple statement. My best requires rest. My best requires rest. You're not wasting time when you're relaxing. You're not wasting time when you're resting. Even in your busiest season, there's no excuse. You must rest. If you're a tax accountant and it's April, you still have to take some time to rest. If you're a retailer and it's Christmas season, you still have to have a day off. You may be a farmer and it may be harvest or planting season. You still have to take a day off. You have to have a Sabbath rest, a time. So what are you supposed to do with this time, the Sabbath rest? Well, three things, basically. One, rest your body. You need to rest your body. And when you say, I'm taking a day off and I'm going to rototill my whole front yard, that's not taking a day off to let your body rest. You need to rest your body, physically rest. It's a biblical basis for a good afternoon nap. Please feel free on Sundays to take a good nap, just not while we're preaching. Secondly, refocus your spirit. That's called worship. It's what you're doing right now. You're refocusing your spirit right now by coming to worship. You're recharging, refreshing your spirit, and you're getting charged up with spiritual strength. A third thing is to recharge your emotions. That recreation recharges your emotions. Some of you may have a job, though, where you're required to work on Sunday, so hopefully you can attend worship maybe before work. If not, make sure you connect with a Bible study or a small group for your weekly growth or fellowship, or take some time to, when you can't be here, to watch the video that's online so you can be a part of the body and worshiping that way. But you say, well, you know, sometimes I feel guilty when I relax. Well, guess who didn't? Jesus. When you study Jesus' ministry, you often read about times after intense ministry when he told his disciples these things. We need to come apart for a while. We're going off to the mountains. We're going to the desert. Come apart. There's a saying that goes like this. If you don't come apart, you'll come apart. Remember, rest and recovery. It's part of the program. So take some rest. The third thing about crowds. You have to escape it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Beauty is an incredible thing in stress management. Ugliness stresses you out. Beauty inspires, beauty encourages, beauty motivates, beauty stirs up positive emotions, and God made this world so beautiful. Sunrises and sunsets and beautiful flowers, and when was the last time you looked at any of them? Have you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, when we were at the beach or when we were in the forest or we were out on the lake, we felt so close to God. Well, you know why? That's his nature for you to enjoy. Of course you feel close to him. He created it. Humans were made to live in a garden, not in a skyscraper. We aren't made to live in concrete. God made us to live in beautiful nature all around us, and God's beauty inspires and motivates us. For you golfers, think about that in Psalm 23. He makes me lie down. Where does he make you lie down? In green meadows. Sound like a golf course? And leads me beside quiet waters, by the water hole that hopefully you're not in. He restores my soul. Can't you just visualize this 23rd Psalm, lush green meadows, a calm, quiet lake? You relax just thinking about it. And if I say, instead, think about parking lot traffic on 270 and 495. Now how do you feel? Stressed out. But if I say, think about meadows and calm waters and babbling brooks, you relax. So just a few little pointers. First, get outside every day a little bit. I know in this cold weather, maybe that's not too smart, so stand inside and look outside. Or look at pictures of beautiful scenes from some of your vacations. Somehow just kind of get away from things and focus on God's creation, or take a little walk around and look outside at it. Surround yourself with beauty. A second thing is to start the day with God and nothing else. This is tough in our society today. This means before you pick up a newspaper, before you check any text messages, before you check any email, or you turn on that radio or TV where people from different planets are screaming at or about each other, get in touch with God first. Give God the first minutes of your day. Turn on some worship music. Read a psalm. Get in touch with God. It will dramatically reduce your stress and improve your mood. And thirdly, intentionally put beauty around you. God has a beautiful creation. Put some plants in your house or in your office, or some pieces of art that really mean something to you, or pictures of loved ones, or trips, or plants. Looking at beauty will lower your stress level. Listen to beauty and beautiful music lowers your stress level. So recharge your soul with beauty. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. The fourth thing is those choices that we face in our lives. Well, whatever choices you have, go to God. It says in the third part of 23rd Psalm, He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. Do you get stressed with decisions? You may be at a fork in a road, and maybe you've got multiple options. You just can't decide, and the stress is getting to you. You can't decide whether to get in or to get out or to do either. Well, make God the number one source for your guidance. Not the opinions of the world or others around you. Go to God for guidance. Go to God and say, God, I need wisdom. In James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. God is waiting for you and me to stop, to turn from our solitude and our worldlitude, and to ask him to give us wisdom. We only need to ask. So you say, God, I need wisdom. You pray, then open your heart and your mind and your spiritual ears. Open His Word, the Bible, and wait, be quiet, and listen, and sense. And in time, maybe not immediately, but in His time, God will bring to you ideas and answers. And you'll go, wow, that's what I need to do. Give it to Him. Go to God. Read these words with me. God loves me. He will guide me at the right time. His timing is perfect. He's never early. He's never late. God's time is the right time. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. Valleys. In that valley, I'm saying no fear. It says in verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When the dark valleys come, even Jesus said, as a realist, in this world you will have tribulation. When losses come, when the job is in jeopardy or lost, when there are questions about your health or the health of a loved one, and the tests are ordered and taken, the results take so long. When we are scared and it seems like the shadow of death is falling upon us, when the valleys come, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David the psalmist calls us to remember, even in the dark and fearful valleys, our shepherd God is with us, so no fear. I'm not going to stress out because my God is my protector. I will not fear, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no fear. For you, my God, are with me. You are with me right here with me. There is nothing in this dark shadow that is a surprise to you. You know all about me, and you love me, and you are with me, and you are with me, loving me, and I have no fear. Amen? Some of you are going through a valley of a shadow right now. Maybe the valley of the shadow of death, or the valley of the shadow of debt, or the valley of the shadow of depression, or the valley of the shadow of discouragement, or some other loss. Shadows are scary. But shadows are just that, shadows. If we don't do ourselves, and we don't do ourselves any favors when we have a medical issue, and then we go to the internet and search frantically and scare ourselves half to death with what we find. I remember I was in my doctorate program. I was in a room by myself. I was typing my final paper for a class late into the night. It was like 11, 12 o'clock at night. And as I kind of scratched my elbow, and I found this little bump back here. I thought, what could that be? So I kept typing and stuff like that. And, of course, my hand made its way over to that bump again. You know, that bump started growing and growing. And I was at that doctorate program for a week, and that by that time, that bump was about as big as a quarter. I thought, oh my goodness, it's a lymph node of some kind. I've got cancer. Something's going on in there. I got to go to the doctor. I even thought about getting a pin and sterilizing it and sticking it to see what was in there all myself. I know, that's goofy. Got to the doctor, and he looked it over. He said, huh. I went, oh, I don't like that. What is it? He said, only one piece of advice. I said, what's that? He said, don't touch it. I said, why? He said, you've irritated it. It'll go away. In about a week, it went away. I don't even know where it is now. It was a shadow. Most of the valleys, the shadows that we fear are nothing but shadows. And we intensify that. Shadows are just that, shadows. Most of the time, they're not the real thing. They can't hurt you. And if you ever notice that a shadow is bigger than the source? You can have a shadow of the stand, and it would be enormous right up here as it shadowed against me. In your fear of the valley, that shadow seems greater than it actually is. But here's the good news. Where there is a shadow, there is light. You can't have a shadow without light. So the key when you're going through the valley of the shadow and you're fearing it is to not be afraid, but turn your back on the shadow and focus on the light. Because as long as you keep your eyes on the light, the shadow can't scare you, because Jesus is the light of the world. Amen? And that's how you go through the valley of the shadow of death. So please repeat after me these words. I don't have to know the answers when I know God. I'm going to turn my back on the shadow, and I'm going to trust the light. Even in the dark shadows, I will not fear, because my God is with me in every valley. The sixth one is the one on conflict. Let God. Another source of conflict is the conflicts around us. Opposition, criticism, attacks. There may be people in your life who simply don't like you and they put you down. They may be people who where you work with you, or they may be so-called friends or even family. You may be betrayed. And your natural response is to want to attack back, to criticize back, to retaliate, to get even. And let me just counsel you these few words. Give them to God. This does not mean that you allow yourself to be a doormat or slandered or bullied. You should speak the truth, defend yourself and your reputation, but when all that has been done, just give them to God. In Romans 12, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Let me ask you a question. If you're upset with somebody and you're being treated improperly by someone, attacked by someone, who do you think could deal with them best, you or God? And then added to that in the 23rd Psalm, verse 5, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Even though I face conflict from evil people, even in the presence of such evil people, God sets a banquet table of blessing before me. He anoints me. My cup overflows. God is so good to me in spite of my attackers, in spite of my critics. I just got to let God deal with them. It takes a lot of faith, but let God be your defender. And let God take care of it. And then the future. God's got it. Are you a what-if-er? Well, what if this happens? What if this goes wrong? What if this goes bad? What if-ing leads to an enormous amount of stress in your life? Instead, hear David's final proclamation about the Lord who is his shepherd. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long, forever. We tend to look at our future in two ways. We could say, what if everything goes wrong? What if I don't have enough money? What if I lose my job? What if somebody walks out on me? What if? Or you can look at the future and say, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me as God's child all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those are the only two options. You can either see from God's viewpoint, or you can see it from your fearful anxiety and stress. Expect God to finish in your life what he has started into you. As Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. How do you lower the stress? You realize, you trust, and say, God's got it. You know, we all have one of these Bibles. Let me tell you something. I read the last page. Guess what? We win. You win. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are God's child. You win. So in conclusion, just kind of wrap these up. Don't worry. Trust, because the Lord is your shepherd if you know him through Christ. You will not be in want. Secondly, don't hurry. Rest. He makes you and wants you to lie down, worship, and rest. As far as the crowds, escape. Go to some green pastures, go to some still waters, get away from it. As far as the choices you have, go to God. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Ask him to help you, ask for wisdom. As far as the valleys that we all go through, the dark valleys, no fear. For even though I walk through the darkest valley, even the valley of the shadow of death, remember it's a shadow, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Even in the valley, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As for conflict you get into, people like you or not, let God. Because he can deal with them better than you can, release them to him, and then remember that he's preparing a table before you, even in the presence of the enemies. He will anoint your head with oil. Your cup overflows with his blessings. As far as your future, always remember, God's got it. Because surely his goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord, not just now, but forever. All God's people say, amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this stress reducer in just one psalm, 6 verses, handling 7 really stressful topics and any others that we may come up with. Father, thank you that you love us as a wonderful shepherd who watches over us, cares for us, and is always available and there for us and with us. And Lord, help us as just innocent sheep wandering around needing you so much to depend on you and trust you. So, Father, we ask you to help us to be relieved of the stresses in our lives as we continue to lean more upon you, our great stress reliever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.